Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we're going to have a mixture of clouds and sun, maybe a stray shower, at a high today around 87. Kenosha right now is at 65 degrees. It's 68 in Burlington, also 68 in Milwaukee, and 67 in Racine. Take note that due to the very dry conditions around the area, there's a ban on burning in the Racine County town of Norway until further notice. That ban issued late last week, it actually started Friday, September the 22nd, which means no outdoor burning allowed in Norway for the time being by order of the Wind Lake Fire Department. Three residents of a home in Kenosha safely evacuated this morning after fire of undetermined origin started on the outside porch at 1017 42nd Street. A 911 call just before 2:30 a.m. sent engines and paramedics racing to the scene. A police officer got there first and confirmed there were plenty of flames and concern for anybody who might still be inside. A call was made for an investigator to come look into the circumstances of how that fire may have started. We Energy is also requested to send somebody in for some downed power lines at the scene. The Racine Unified School Board, near the end of last night's business meeting, approved a letter to Congress asking for a timely and humane replacement for the Deferred Action for Children Arrivals program, but also a resolution which stirred up a lot of discussion. This resolution coming as an amendment from Brian O'Connell. He suggested it's more for the community's peace of mind.
I think we do have good policies in place. I think the issue is that the community apparently doesn't recognize that, doesn't know about them, or we would have not had a discussion which began, to my knowledge, in April with accusations that we do not, or that we do not take actions to reassure our students and reduce the fear that they may be having.
Dennis Weiser said that it should go through the governance committee, noting that some of the language is actually beyond the board's authority.
We are doing good things in this area. I would like to see us continue to do good things in this area. I would like to see the board adopt a policy that respects how the board is supposed to compose a policy and not just adopt something because it makes you feel good. We should do the business of the board the way the board is supposed to do business.
The final vote to approve the governance committee supported letter to Congress on DACA. Last minute included resolution was 5-3. Board members Whitkey, Weiser, and Hanser against. Some of the people who would be affected, potentially, if Foxconn chooses a site in Mount Pleasant for that massive flat-screen assembly plant, went to the village board meeting last night looking for answers. Board members really didn't have any to give, though. Shannon Hilbert lives on Brown Road in the area that's believed in Foxconn sites, urged the trustees to support the residents who are going to be losing their neighborhood.
I know a lot of people are excited for this new chapter, but please do not forget the cost to the families that have to relocate. We are not only losing the houses that we've spent many years making a home, but we are losing our neighbors, our neighborhood with people who have become family. So when it comes time to announce the location and start acquiring the land and the homes, I hope my village and my community will support us and make sure that we are fairly compensated.
Village President Dave DeGroot traveled to Japan last week for what he described only as a fact-finding trip for the proposed development, says everybody wants to get the information out. Trustee Kenneth Waska says he's just as frustrated as everybody else, really doesn't know where Foxconn plans to build.
If I say something and it's wrong, then it, you know, I mean, right now, this is, like I say, I really don't. I'm not saying that it's not going to, but I don't know for sure. That's all I can say.
It's been widely reported, of course, Foxconn looking at land east of the interstate, south of Highway 11, with a formal announcement expected sometime soon. And it's getting to the point that almost every community in eastern Racine County is having some level of discussion about the Foxconn project. Caledonia's Community Development Authority touched on the issue with Village President Bob Bradley, a smile on his face, acknowledging a residual impact if the facility goes in the Mount Pleasant sort of an area, but claiming otherwise he doesn't know for sure.
I haven't got the solid stamp on that yet. But if for some far-fetched reason they decide to come to started on Mount Pleasant, I think there will be some impact to Caledonia financially for infrastructure. How's that?
One thing Bradley did point out is that any large manufacturing facility on the order of Foxconn would meet a significant need for water. When it comes to Caledonia, contributing to regional growth, he says the village negotiated an advantage. He did touch on community services that might be impacted, like other communities have also discussed. Meanwhile, the Racine County Board meeting as a committee of the whole again at 5:30 tonight, ahead of the regular business meeting. Single item agenda listing, competitive economic development opportunities in the village of Mount Pleasant. Also now, however, with county officials being quizzed by the media regarding a state incentive bill that includes language that would allow Racine County a sales tax to pay for things related to Foxconn. Big doings at UW Parkside. As of next year, the school is going to be affiliated with a different athletic conference. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Chancellor Debbie Ford and Director of Athletics Andrew Gavin announced Monday that Parkside will become a full member of the NCAA Division II Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference beginning with the 2018-19 school term. According to a news release, Parkside accepted an invitation from the conference that was extended with the unanimous support of the conference's membership. Parkside is currently a member of the Great Lakes Valley Conference, which banned the school from all postseason competition after Parkside self-reported a possible violation regarding the eligibility of a wrestler to compete. An NCAA review found 9 secondary violations but did not impose any sanctions. However, the GLVC handed down the postseason ban. Parkside spokesman John Milkey said the sanctions were a motivating factor in exploring a new conference. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
In Mount Pleasant, the only finalist for the position of administrator is currently the administrator in the village of Sister Bay in Door County. In a brief email, the interim Mount Pleasant administrator, Chief Tim Zarzecki in the police department, says Zeke Jackson is the only finalist at this time, but he adds there may be additional finalists in the future. According to the Sister Bay website, Jackson has been in the administrator position for the village there since 2013. Could cost between $650,000 and $1.1 million to shore up a section of the bluff on Lake Michigan in Mount Pleasant. That's got some problems there. The village waiting still on the Army Corps of Engineers for a permanent solution with the erosion problem along the lakefront. Last night, the Board of Trustees approved seeking bids and a funding mechanism to implement a plan that will be developed by Terracon, a company hired by the village to recommend how to save threatened public infrastructure between Rosalind and Bryn Mawr Avenues in Lake Park. Plan approved by the board last night would use funds already borrowed for road projects. Trustee Sonny Haven saying this is an emergency and a process needs to move quickly.
Steve came up with the idea of borrowing from the roads and has checked with Ellers, I believe it was Ellers you checked with, Steve. And it is legal to do that. So we want to make sure that we didn't have any problems with that. And I think that would be our best solution rather than go out and borrow more money right now, a bond for more until such time as we know what we're actually going to spend.
Steve is the public works manager for the village. Trustee Gary Feast expressing concern that road projects may suffer if the funding is taken away, even if it's eventually replaced. That proposal passed unanimously. And a preliminary budget for the current school year by law and because of how the fiscal year is structured has been approved by the Racine Unified School Board for purposes of a public hearing in about 3 weeks. Budget Director Mark Duff saying nothing has really changed that much based on calculations and reasonable expectations. The tax rate still showing $10 per thousand of assessed valuation, a penny lower than last year.
But I still don't have our final aid certification. I still don't know how many voucher students we have. We won't know that until October 13th or 14th. And all of that would still have a fairly significant impact on our final tax levy, but this is what I'm estimating.
He confirmed about a quarter of the almost $315 million total budget is from the local levy. The voucher tax, he said, also a significant factor. The public hearing, Monday, October the 16th. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section of it. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.